Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Well, Alex, that was pretty cool. That doesn't happen too often in any wrestling company, let alone WWE. But we got Sami Zayn, a top babyface in the company right now, outside of Montreal, but we get him inside of Montreal ahead of tomorrow at the Elimination Chamber, an audience just eating out of the palm of his hand, and Sami kept it short, kept it sweet, but also checked the boxes in my eyes in terms of what he needed to and should have covered out there on his little go home promo here. He told the fans what they were going to do. He gave them an opportunity to kind of soak him up and looked like a big star doing it. I thought that segment with Sami at the end struck, the perfect tone going into the Elimination Chamber. Regardless of what the finish is going to be tomorrow night, I thought this was the right way to go tonight leading into that major match. How about you?
I have mixed feelings. I really liked it for what it was, and it was, kind of a special moment. Like, it's hard to remember the last time we saw something like that. Like, I want to say it's like when Hogan made his return, what was that, 02 after Mania, but even that seems like it was a long time ago and
yeah,
a little bit different. But anyway, the only thing is I was really hoping that perhaps they would do this earlier in the night and Zayn could give the kind of promo that some of us have been hoping for as a final, push for the pay-per-view tomorrow. But, he comes out with 10 minutes left in the show and the crowd won't let him talk for the first 4 minutes he's out there. So once that became the circumstance, I agree with you that what they ended up going with was the right move. This is more of a question for you, but a little bit of an odd circumstance that they're running SmackDown and the pay-per-view in the same building back-to-back yeah. nights. Do you think that perhaps, maybe, they should have left Zayn off this show and kept that response for tomorrow night's main event and just not shown the guy until the end tomorrow?
Well, it's so funny that you brought that up because that's in my notes. Well, we're going to have an on-site correspondent tonight, hopefully. So it might know to talk to him about. But I had the same thought, and I haven't really, flushed it out. But I think, that, look, there's pluses and minuses to it. I almost think that it's – that you wanted to have – because of what I think is inevitably going to go down tomorrow night, that tonight was the night to, give that audience, that clear – kind of moment of cheering Sami Zayn on. You got the music, the his old music is back. He got to just be fired up and sending everybody home happy. And so on one hand, I'm like, well, you're not gonna do that tomorrow night just because of how things are likely to finish out. So okay, maybe it is the smart call to give him that tonight. However, it's the pops are never the same, back to back like that. I mean, you have one shot to do it that first time. It'd be CM Punk making a comeback, and then making a comeback the next night too in a match. So you're just not going to get that same energy after you've seen it one time. And so that's the negative here. So I mean, I'm mixed on it too. I've got mixed feelings on that at this point, but I think it tells you a little bit about what they think of or what they have planned for the finish because they kind of gave that audience that permission to just, okay, here's your Sami Zayn moment. Take it, love it, enjoy it, make it what you want because we got business to attend to at Elimination Chamber. I mean, what do you think? I mean, like, I know you asked me the question, and hopefully I kind of gave a decent answer, but do you think it was a, like, smart call, or you can take anything away from it other than, hey, they just want to do the pop twice?
Well, he'll get a similar reception tomorrow, because maybe I'm wrong, but I highly doubt that we'll say, let's say what, 25% of that crowd's probably going to both shows.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a benefit. So it'll be different people. So it's not exactly the same thing, but you know, the CM Punk is a good example, because the only guy that gets pops like that back-to-back nights is, like, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin Hogan in, like, 85. So it's a tough bar to cross, but I get it. And I see where you're coming from, too, with the standpoint of, let's be honest, we all know that more than likely that show is going off the air tomorrow with a spear and 1-2-3, as it should, by the way. We'll get more into that later. But with that being the case, I guess the best course of action is what you said. Give them the moment tonight, because tomorrow is very likely going to be a disappointment. I'm very interested to see how this atmosphere rivals the Rob Van Dam, John Cena environment.
That's a good comparison, like, too. That's a good comparison.
That's the only thing I was actually thinking about all day, what I could compare it to. And that's like all I can come up with that's even remotely similar enough to where you can draw. Like, I got nothing else. I wished I could come up with a better one, but that's really all I got.
Yeah, I mean, Cena Punk at Money in the Bank that year, I think, is probably close to this.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
But this is special, though, too, you know, because it's a lot like CM Punk in that, like, everything that kind of happened is organic, you know, and it wasn't necessarily supposed to go down the way that it is. And you just – I just think that it's a – and this is a little bit of a preview of my column on pwtorch.com that'll hit tomorrow, but this is like one of those moments where I think you want to take a step back and just kind of watch it for what it is, because you just don't get this type of investment – all the time in wrestling. It's rare. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here and can come up with like two really solid ideas of something similar, it's like, just doesn't happen very often. So it should make for a pretty enjoyable watch, even if it's not going to finish out the way some people may want it to. Are you surprised that there wasn't any bloodline involvements, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso? You know, they really just kind of put it on Sammy's shoulders to, you know, put butts in seats, I guess, one last time.
Two reasons. One, I thought it was a little odd that there was nothing with Jimmy and Jay watching the show from home or something to allude to a backstage segment where Reigns like winks at the camera or Heyman does, just to kind of tie up the loose end of the final segment of last week's show. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel wasn't addressed at all, and I'm a little disappointed about that. But, and I kind of touched on this before, is it at all possible that it's weird because we're on Fox now and we don't have the overrun, like, you know, you and I are about the same age, so we grew up with the overrun on Raw, where a lot of times that show would go until 10 after 10 or 10 after 11 or you know, whatever. And Fox with the news, we don't have that. So I guess there is a small possibility that the 4 to 5 minutes that the crowd took of that promo erased something that they could have had planned. To kind of add to that point, if you notice in the Gunter match, when the Olay chants start, they went immediately to the finish. like, oh, crap, you know, maybe they ran a couple minutes long or something. Again, yeah, that's total speculation and just probably giving them more credit than they deserve, honestly. But it is something that I thought of.
I thought the same thing. I thought, man, if there was ever a time to have an overrun, this would be it. But you're not going to get it on Fox, period. I mean, there's no way because of the, you know, the local news affiliates. So, you know, they were stuck. Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be one of those things. We see some kind of, you know, bloodline video hit social media in like 20 minutes. We'll know what was supposed to maybe happen. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm glad. I mean, I give them credit for, you know, if they did have to adjust on the fly, just adjust on the fly, because in that moment, like, it would have been weird and awkward to see Sammy like try to like cut in on those chants. Like, this was something that I think you just had to kind of let happen, and then take it where you have to take it and leave it on Sammy to get to where you need to go with enough time to spare. Because it was just one of those things. But yeah, I'll keep an eye on WWE Twitter here and see if anything hits. Lots more to talk about. Really curious to get the callers' opinions on that final segment. As I mentioned, folks, we're supposed to have an on-site correspondent, so hopefully we're able to talk to him about what the reaction to Sami Zayn was like in the building and how that compared to others. But let's go ahead and set the table for the show, and then we'll open up the phone lines and start taking calls. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, covering the Friday, February 17th, 2023 edition of SmackDown. I'm PW Torch, assistant editor Zach Haydorn, filling in for Wade tonight. Wade's on assignment, and you can catch Wade, though, if you want to hear his thoughts on tonight's show, on the Wade Keller Hotline. It's a VIP exclusive show that Wade does every single day, and you can check out that, as well as a multitude of other wonderful wrestling podcast by going VIP, pwtorch.com/govip. You get the Wade Keller Hotline. You get an ad-free version of pwtorch.com, which we'll talk about more in a minute. You get back issues of the PW Torch newsletter, archives, and as I mentioned, just a ton of podcasts covering all sorts of different wrestling genres, New Japan, Ring of Honor, AEW, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now's the time, ahead of WrestleMania season with Revolution coming up, New Japan's Battle in the Valley show coming up on Saturday night, in addition to Elimination Chamber, lots going on, and now's a great time to check us out. So once again, that's pwtorch.com/govip. The other voice you hear with me tonight is that of Alex McDonald from the PW Torch Daily Cast and pwtorch.com. Alex, always a pleasure, man. Welcome to the show, and thanks for joining me tonight.
Thanks, Zach. Always good to be on with you.
Yeah, it's been a bit, so this should be fun, and we've got lots of folks on hold, which also should make for a fun night. So if you wanna talk with us about the show or about Elimination Chamber tomorrow, the number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Just press 1 when you're in the caller queue to let me know that you want to get on the air. If you don't want to talk, but you want to get your point across some other way, you can send an email to us. It's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. We've got a couple emails in there that we'll get to throughout the night. So with that said, Alex, if you're ready, we can go ahead and take the first call here.
I'm ready when you are.
All right. We'll start things off today with 443. 443, if you heard the beep, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. How you doing?
Kyle, what's going on? I thought that was you, man, but I wasn't sure, so I didn't want to say it. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind regarding SmackDown?
Yeah, I mean, man, it's kind of saying the entire show is about Sami Zayn. It's like there was like no one else that the crowd cared about but Sami Zayn. It was like I didn't like. Whoa, I was like, I'm like kind of taking it back because I kind of felt like that was going to be the reaction leading up to this. But it's like actually physically seeing it. It's like the Cody Rhodes even have a chance to even be credible to face Roman Reigns anymore fully. No, granted, there are in Canada, but Sammy has been very popular cheers for the last few months beyond Canada. So it's just, I don't know. I'm starting to, I kind of mentioned this to Wade last week on Raw about to me, like, what type of story can they tell about Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns beyond that they're generation wrestlers, and all Rhodes cares about is just being champion. He has no diff for Roman Reigns at all. You see what they do with Sami Zayn here, and it's like, are they really going to just pivot to be in a tag team thing? Well, people really will be all that excited about that, honestly, fully. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos. So granted, the Usos have had a long title run for themselves. There's nothing to look back on, but it's just after this, it just seems like, I don't know what type of story they could tell between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns compared to what they're doing right now with Sami Zayn after months and months and months leading up to this moment right now. So what do you think about the aspect of how will people be accepted of Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns after this story with Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns?
Well, Kyle, it's a good question. And I think it's going to be fun to watch play out. That's for sure. Like, I mean, and Alex, I mean, I guess I'd just say, like, it's their job to make sure that they've got something that's going to make Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns something that people really, really want to see. I mean, that's what's on the line here. Like, you know, you're kind of, you know, you are in some ways kind of playing with fire with the Sami Zayn thing. And so you just have to have something good, like, on the back end. And I think so far, you know, Cody Rhodes has, you know, lived up to the hype as far as winning the Royal Rumble and being an opponent for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I think he's been getting good reactions. He's been getting good reactions opposite Sami Zayn directly, which I think is a positive sign. So I think he's in a good place. And I think, you know, they're going to just go down that road of, you know, Cody Rhodes chasing down the dream and the goal of winning the world title. I think it's going to be a pretty simple story. It would make things easier for him and for that story if Sami Zayn is on the WrestleMania card in a suitable spot, I think. And that's kind of like more meta than you probably want to get. But, you know, that WrestleMania crowd is sometimes hard to wrestle with. And so if they're going to go with Kevin Owens versus and Sami Zayn against the Usos, like, to me, like, you have to put that probably in the main event of night one of WrestleMania to kind of fully hold off any kind of, like, severe backlash for Sami Zayn not being in the world title match. I think if you put him on the card where he deserves to be at this point, given the reaction that he gets, Alex, I think that will help along with a good story with Cody Rhodes. But it's a tough question to answer because really it's just on the promotion to deliver something really good. What do you think, Alex?
Well, the last thing you said, I completely agree with. As far as Mania goes, they need to keep them as separated as possible. And obviously the two-night thing is surely going to help that. What's funny is if this was a one-night show, they would probably bookend the show with those two matches. Mm-hmm. And luckily, we don't even have to get into that situation. They can just separate them on two nights. As far as Cody goes, and you mentioned this too, and it is very important, this is very, very far from backlash against him. People just like both of them. And that's a good problem. Like, when was the last time you had two guys that fans legitimately wanted to see in a main event against your ridiculously dominant champion? Like, when was the last time that happened?
It's been a really long time. I mean, it's been a really long time. You know, it's not on the same level, but I mean, like, I don't know, for some reason, like, but I think it was 99 or something, WrestleMania, where you kind of had Mankind, like, hovering around the main event. You know, but it was really Austin's, and it's not the same because Austin was, like, you know, like shockingly over and a whole nother level, but it comes to mind, but it's not even really on the same level, I suppose, but the same idea, I guess.
Yeah. It's a similar idea with the, you know, and it's hard too, because you can't even really call Cody like the incumbent big star, like you would have with Austin at the time. But anyway,
right.
That's the thing, is it's been a while. It's not like people keep wanting to bring up the whole deal with Batista and Daniel Bryan. This is not that. So we need to kind of get off of that track.
Yeah, I like that neither.
Besides
so
all
I
that,
really hate that comparison as well. So.
Yeah.
So we need to kind of get away from all that. And as far as the whole deal goes, the only thing, and I really don't want to look ahead to Mania until we're through with tomorrow, because there's just so many different ways they can go with this. I don't think there's a triple threat. I saw somebody notable bring that up in the last couple of days, and I don't think that's going to happen. But Cody's a different beast, and unfortunately, I truly believe that they thought they had The Rock for maybe up until like a month ago, and it just fell through, and this Zayn thing just kind of happened, you know, with the trial and everything like that. If I had it my way, they would not have done this yet, and we would be getting, you know, Zayn against Owens or something to that effect. Or like Zayn and Sokoa again, you know, something like that. And they would have put this off and done it later, perhaps, you know, SummerSlam or something like that. But again, I feel like they kind of lulled themselves into a false sense of security, in my opinion. And then plan B was this, and it turns out plan B is pretty good, but plan B also has a couple of issues, because you now have two guys who the fans want. And in my opinion, and again, I do not want to get big into the Mania thing yet, but in my opinion, with this Reigns title run, if there's any amount of doubt from fans about who, if the person they're putting against him should beat him, then you don't do it. And at this point, I'm very against the idea of beating Reigns and taking the titles just to do it, or because you think you should, instead of knowing for sure that it's the right time. Like, I'm not on board yet. I think you need the people like me who are, you know, if you listen to my show, we jokingly talk about I'm in the bloodline, right? You have to get people like me to finally go, okay, it's time. And they're not there yet. But in the next 6 weeks, they could make me feel that way. I don't know. But I want to get through tomorrow first.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, and I would have said the same thing if it was Sami Zayn in the that position too.
Yeah,
you know?
me too.
It, you know, you don't take it off Roman unless it's time. It's like, that's how important that title reign is and how much equity is in it. So you certainly don't want to mess around with that. So I think that's a great call out. Kyle, it's a great question. Awesome talking point to kick us off. What else you got for us?
Yeah. For me, I could really care less about Cody Rhodes or Sami Zayn personally. If it was my choice, it would have been Seth Rollins in this position, but that's how I feel after the Royal Rumble last year, but whatever. They're not doing that, but so I just think that's still a crime to me, but whatever. So for me, it's just what they told as a story perspective, and also another big reason is that Rhodes has been out from injury for months, and then he just stumbled along with this story, and then this Sami story, and who knows, if he never got an injury, will he still do this? We'll never know. So that's the thing there in that situation. But we'll see what happens tomorrow. But whatever, and we'll see with that. I want to talk about Charlotte and Rhea and her coming back or coming to SmackDown next week to do a face to face. I think next, I don't know much on Monday or not, but how the face to face between Charlotte and Rhea, I kind of wanted to see how that's going to transpire. And this feud hasn't really been a thing fully because Rhea's still focusing on Edge and Beth, and I hope that is over with heading into tomorrow when they're done with their feud between just seeing so much of Edge and Jericho Davis. I need them to move on from that. So a new thing with Charlotte and Rhea and there's switching roles, and I think Rhea's really popular in this with being part of Jericho Davis, also just being heel in general. So do you think it was a smart move long term really to go with Charlotte and Rhea and not Bianca and Rhea, because Bianca's just gonna have a random opponent at WrestleMania and that doesn't have any backstory there. So what do you think about first having Rhea and Charlotte and how that's going to transpire, and if it was a smart move to have Bianca in a random championship match with the person to win the chamber tomorrow? So what do you think about that, the situation there?
You know, I think it's the right decision in the end to really make Rhea Ripley the biggest star that she can possibly be. I mean, like the story around Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair, you know, is played out in the ring. It's also played out outside the ring. You know, I don't think Rhea Ripley was ready the first time, and then obviously that match was just completely taken off the rails because of the pandemic, and you didn't get to do it right. And then again, like I mentioned, like I don't think she was ready. Like, she just seemed a little bit overwhelmed by that moment. This is a different Rhea Ripley that we're seeing, and it's a bit of a different Charlotte Flair that we're seeing too, because Charlotte is playing the part of a babyface now, I suppose. And so I think it's a good chapter for Rhea Ripley if they're going to go ahead and crown her. I think Charlotte's the person to do that with. So I'm fine with that. I think you could have done it with Bianca Belair too, Alex, but that's a match that you can do down the road. I mean, you don't need to rush into that. And so with the Charlotte Flair thing still on the table, you know, I'm okay with them going to that. I'm very interested to see how the segment plays out next week. We haven't seen much of them together in quite some time. And like I said, it's a different Rhea Ripley right now. And so I'm very interested to see, you know, what Charlotte Flair gives to her, like how Charlotte's body language sells for this Rhea Ripley compared to the last time. And so I think it's gonna be some really compelling stuff, Alex. Where are you on this match? And did you prefer Bianca versus Ripley instead?
I'm going to take the Charlotte side first. That's the perfect thing to do with Rhea for a couple of reasons. The number one reason being, it has a built-in story from what they did 3 years ago during the pandemic mania. And I feel like I'm such in the minority for this, but I really, really enjoyed that match. That was like one of my favorite parts of that mania.
Yeah, though the match was good. The match was good. Yes. It was just bizarre to look back on, but it's good.
Yeah. It's, again, that's such a hard show to rewind. I still haven't done it except for the two cinematic deals, you know, so it's hard to rewatch, and those are so isolated in their own thing. But anyway, so I think it's good from that standpoint. I know a lot of people didn't like that finish, and maybe that's what you're getting at with some of the bizarreness of it, but hindsight being 2020 and what we saw from Rhea after that, that may have been the right call, because here we are 3 years later and she's found herself, and it feels like now is the time. And you got to imagine that once Levesque got the book, he had that in the back of his mind, especially as Ripley heated up even more throughout the summer and into the fall as we got closer and closer to Rumble season, right? So you have to imagine that was the thought. So I do think that with the roster they have right now and with a very weak SmackDown, that was the best option they could go with, because the other major issue, and this is going to kind of go into the Bianca thing in a second, but the major issue is that if Rhea didn't pick Charlotte, then how do you solve the star power problem on SmackDown? Like, do you do Rousey and Charlotte for like the thousandth time?
Yeah. Like, no, it's a great point. Yep. Yeah. Sorry,
like,
keep going.
The winner of the Rumble had to be a person from Raw to challenge on SmackDown. It had to be. Whether it was Becky or Rhea or Bayley, it just had to be. There was no other option. So I think they made the right call there. As far as Bianca goes, they made a huge mistake, but it's one nobody's really talking about. Bayley should have feuded with Becky first. And they couldn't do that because of the injury, right? So I kind of get it. Bayley should have been kept as far away from Bianca as possible until, you know, like now. And they could have done Bayley and Bianca at Mania, and then Bianca could have beat Bayley, which would have been her third horsewoman in a row, yeah, leaving Charlotte, who they consider, whether everybody agrees with this or not, it is what it is. The company considers her the queen of the horsewomen, pardon the pun. And it would have left her as the last one. So you have that built in for next year. And they kind of screwed all that up. You know, you can blame the injury and say it's circumstance, but at the same time, they just didn't find anything else for Bianca to do to push off that match. So now that whole thing is tired and you can't go back to it. So now you're in a situation where you have to heat up somebody from basically scratch in Asuka or, God forbid, Liv Morgan or something like that, because mm-hmm. you blew your other options with Bianca, because the only two people that she hasn't wrestled, well, one of them you have to put with Rhea, and the other one you wasted on a bunch of B pay-per-views.
Yep, well said, and point taken on the depth issue, because you're right. I mean, you had to give SmackDown something in this because they're just bleeding star power, and this was a good way to do that. Good call, Kyle. Thanks for that question too. Anything else tonight before we move on to other calls?
Yeah, just going off of that, I kind of agree. Because you see on Raw, it's Bianca, Becky, Bayley. It's a lot of star power on the women's side. It's not really no one on SmackDown. So in that respect, I'm kind of glad Rhea's going to be on SmackDown. Hopefully, does win the championship and add more women women as depth to the division for SmackDown leading into after WrestleMania. Hopefully, so that's also the goal there. Yeah, well, I guess that's pretty much it for me. It was pretty much a Sami Zayn episode of SmackDown tonight for the most part, because that's all everyone cares about. But we'll see what happens heading into the chamber tomorrow, and then how they build up WrestleMania for majority of these matches with Rhea and Charlotte and whoever Bianca's going to face too. How that's going to build. So, but that's it. It's your call.
Yep, thanks for making it, Kyle. Always good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, we'll go next to 615. This is Sean in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, welcome to the show, man. Good to talk to you. What's your thoughts on SmackDown, dude?
Oh, man. Good SmackDown, Zach. It's always good to talk to you for a second time during a day, because I get to talk to you on the YouTube channel almost every Friday. So, again, I wanted to plug that real quick again. You guys got to get on the YouTube channel, man. Like, it's fun stuff on there. We have a good time. It's you know, Zach in Texas, I always give him a hard time, so that's great. I love that. No, I'm just playing. He's fun. But I just enjoy everybody on there. And Alex, man, the times I've gotten to hear your show, man, with Patrick, I always enjoy it, man. It's always good to talk to you, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Good to talk to you too, man.
Yeah. So with SmackDown, well, of course with Sami, yeah, that pop was fantastic. I mean, it was good to hear that. I mean, just the fans just pouring down on him, the love that they have for him. Like, as much as you guys were kind of talking about it, I was with you too. I kind of thought the same thing at first, but then I was like, I knew that they couldn't. I know Wade's talked about it many times before, like when you know that assuming Sammy's going to lose, and we all assume he will, and I think it's the right thing, and I'm okay with it because I love Sammy. He'll be fine past this, but I don't think they overall wanted to give him a big time long go home promo because he's not going to win, and then it just builds all this, you know. He's going to say all this great stuff, and it's going to be like, man, I want him to win so bad, and then you know he's not going to win. It kind of takes away from it a little bit. So I think that's ultimately why they didn't go that route. But I still thought it was really good. I'm still excited about the match. I'm assuming, and I know we talked about it today, and I think Alex, you might be with us on this, but I really do think Jay is going to cost him the match because you can't have him lose clean, and that's kind of the – a way to say, okay, Jay's with him right now, is feeling him right now, but again, he's ultimately going to go to his family. He's going to stay with the bloodline, cost Sammy somehow, win the, you know, let Roman, you know, keep going until WrestleMania. But are you guys, you know, both with me that's probably how the match is going to finish out, or do you think there's other alternative, or I wanted you to speak to alternative ways they might be able to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way they're going to go. I think that's the way they should go. I mean, that's, to me, that's the logical, you know, road for the story to go down, is like, you know, the last person, you know, for Sammy to address as far as like his standing, like for a final time is Jay. And I think, you know, it's perfectly in character and within the story for Jay to come out on the other end and side with Roman and Jimmy and the bloodline. I mean, that's what the bloodline is and has always been about. So I very much think that it's going to go that way. You're going to see Jay get involved, and you're going to see Sammy lose, and that sets up the tag match at WrestleMania. Now, the other way that I think, and I say that because I don't know that there is many ways that you can take this thing and have it, you know, line up nicely with the story they've told with the bloodline. One way you could do it is just a straight up win, you know, by Roman Reigns. I mean, you could do it totally, I mean, quote unquote clean, you know, where he's the better man on that day. And that's a little more disappointing because, you know, there's not that kind of buffer for Sammy. So I don't think they're going to go that way, but that's certainly a possibility. As far as other options, though, it's hard to determine what those may be because of just what works here in the story. And I think what one thing that's been really great about the bloodline and Sammy and Roman Reigns throughout the last 3 years or 900 days that he's been champion is everything's been logical for the most part. You haven't had swerves just to swerve. You've had like really concise, consistent storytelling. And I hope that they continue down that road here now that they're now that they're near the end. Like, there's no reason to kind of do something else just to do it. I hope they stay the course and just make that course really, really compelling and really, really interesting. Alex, over to you.
Well, first off, Sean, thank you for the shout out on my show. When you get a chance to listen to it though, no, we are appointment listening. Thank you very much. Anyway, moving on.
Touché.
So, I know that everybody and their brother wants Jay to, or thinks that Jay's going to turn here or whatever you call it. And you're probably right. I like, Zach, that you brought up the thought process and the idea that Roman just wins clean, which is personally what I would probably do. But if Jay is going to get involved, I want it to be with some trepidation and some reluctancy. I don't want him to just kick Sammy in the face and act like nothing happened. I want nothing to do with that. And if that's what they're going to do, I am super against it. The big thing for me, and this kind of goes back to what we talked about before, is I've been of the belief that the person that beats Roman should be in the family. And that kind of is what it is. But with that said, as far as Jay turning goes, you're probably right, Sean. You're probably right. That's probably the way it goes. But I'm not completely in favor of that. And quite frankly, at this point, with all the talk of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against the Usos, I would really rather see Jay and Sammy against Solo and Jimmy. And that's crazy, and that's never going to happen. But that's just kind of where I'm at. The whole thing with Sammy is he wants all this acceptance, right? And why would he accept the acceptance from Kevin Owens, who has basically treated him like crap for, you know, as long as I can remember?
Yeah, I guess I would say, I don't know. My thought on that is that, like, Sammy, you're right, that the story here is not so much like the, like, Sammy looking for a championship. He's going to get an opportunity at that, but that's not really, like, the broad story. I think you're right. The broad story is that of acceptance on the part of Sami Zayn. But I think what they'd be going for with Kevin Owens is that, you know, he has been and was looking for acceptance in the wrong places. And he had his friend and brother, like, right there the whole time. And instead he was going towards this bloodline stuff. And, you know, now he gets to, you know, renew that friendship and that bond, and accepts the acceptance that he's really already had with Owen. So I did not put it very eloquently, but that, I mean, hopefully you can kind of get what I think that they'd be going for with a tag situation like that. What do you think?
I get it. And it's logical. And I'm overall, I'm to the point where I'm just going to accept it because it's what's going to happen. But the truth is, if we look at this as, like, actual people, from what we've seen, Jey Uso is a better friend than Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Well, until something happened potentially at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
But yes. Yeah.
And But again, that's why the reluctance has to be there. There has to be a reluctance, or all of this is meaningless. If Jey turns and kicks him in the face tomorrow, and then spear 1-2-3, none of this meant anything. And I don't want And that's what I have a huge fear is going to happen. Because Jay should do it very reluctantly, whether he, like, looks away or something. I know. So Solo or Jimmy takes him out, and Zayn makes the assumption it was Jay or something like that, right? And it turns out Jay never did. We all see that. Zayn does something. Just something that shows he's in the family until he blows up later. Because maybe that's the guy who takes the title. I still think the whole family dynamic with Reigns is where this needs to end. But Jay has to play a part in that somehow, and unfortunately they have to get him back in the family for that to happen. And this goes back to what I said before about how I think a lot of this was a plan B, and the Jay thing also kind of happened, you know, as a third part of the plan B with Sammy and Cody.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense that analysis for sure. Sean, back over to you on anything there. There was a lot of stuff I know from both of us, but have at it.
That was good. But I will say the last few times that Alex, going back to when Kevin and Sammy were interacting, when Kevin was talking to him, I mean, he was trying to tell Sammy what we all, you know, were thinking as far as, you know, they're never going to be your family. Like, they're never going to totally accept you. And so he was trying to, like, be a friend to Sammy at that point. I mean, yeah, they didn't, like each other per se, or they weren't, like, you know, buddy-buddy, of course. But he was trying to tell him, like, I'm trying, as your friend, I'm telling you, like, they're not going to be, you know, all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, they've had their feuds, and they've, you know, had to, quote-unquote, hated each other before, had a lot of, you know, disputes with each other. But at the same time, they've always been kind of close in some way. They've always had that friendship kind of there. And so, you know, and Jay, obviously, pretty much couldn't stand him until, like, a couple months ago. So, you know, I see where they're going. But like you said, I mean, Jay has to, you know, you said it exactly right. Jay has to reluctantly do it. He can't just go do it. I mean, that would just be stupid. I mean, it'd be like, all right, well, that story was just a waste of time. You know, and again, they put so many 2 years into this story. Like, they got to do something with it or make it at least believable. So I'm with you on that. But I think it's going to be a fun match. And you know, like I said, I think Sammy has to lose. And, you know, I was giving Zach from Texas a hard time, and I know he'll email about how, you know, he can't stand that Sammy's going to lose. But you got to get sucked in the story, and I'm into the story. Whatever they do, wherever they go, you know, I'm invested. And so I think it'll be fun. But the other two things I was going to bring up were, I wanted to go back because it feels like, again, 5 hours ago, but the Bray and Uncle Howdy stuff with that was interesting as far as, I guess they're making it seem like, you know, Bray pretty much said if whoever wins with the Brock and Bobby match that he's going to, I guess, face them at WrestleMania. And I'm sorry, like, I do not want Bray and Brock at WrestleMania. God, please, no. I do not want that. I mean, Uncle Howdy, like I said, number one, I just wish if you're going to do this Uncle Howdy stuff for a while, at some point I wish they would just acknowledge who he is. Like, who is this guy? Is it Bo Dallas? Who is it? Like, just tell it. Let us know who it is at this point. I don't think, like, holding off this long is, like, I don't know. I mean, obviously they're trying to tell a story somewhat with it. But I don't know where they're going. And I did not like that thought of Bray and Brock at WrestleMania. So what you guys think about all that segment in general?
I feel like that's for sure going to be a polarizing opinion. So I was wondering when this would come up, and I have a couple questions that I want to, Alex, toss your way on it, because, like, the Uncle Howdy and Bray seem to be right now, like, completely on the same page. And then tonight you had and when they've been in the recent, like, recently, my thought was, okay, you know, this is a chapter in the story. They're setting this up, and they're gonna pay this off, and it's going to be Bray versus Uncle Howdy at WrestleMania. Like, but then to have him come out tonight and challenge the winner of Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, which, number one, like, is completely out of left field. Like, why is he challenging? Like, it's just, I think there's an issue there first and foremost. But if you stipulate to, like, okay, we can put some reasoning behind that. Does that pivot, Alex, tell you that they changed course on this Bray thing already? Because it seemed like all indications were that they were going to go down a road of Bray against Uncle Howdy. And now to have it, like, not go that way and to have Bray put out another challenge, like, to me, it signaled, maybe they've called an audible on this and are taking things a different direction. What do you think of the story as it stands right now with Bray Wyatt and the potential match against Brock or Bobby?
Well, first, to what Sean brought up about finding out who Uncle Howdy is, I hate to tell you this, but I think he's Uncle Howdy. I don't think that there's going to be a major reveal, at least anytime soon. I just don't think that's where this is going. I think the character is Uncle Howdy. Like, this is a terrible example. But, like, they were never going to reveal that Doink the Clown was Matt Bourne. Again, yeah. Terrible example, and I understand that. But yeah. Or, like, that Kane was Isaac Yankum or something. Like, this is just the character now. I really, truly believe that. Beyond that, I hope Javier's on because I want him to explain to me when Wyatt and Uncle Howdy, like, fused together to become a team, and when Uncle Howdy turned babyface, because the last time I checked, Howdy was a heel, and Wyatt was something, and he was trying to possess Wyatt and make him a heel, but Wyatt didn't want to, and now they're friends and they're both babyfaces. And if anybody questioned what alignment they were, all of that was answered tonight when they took out the most annoying rap group in the history of wrestling television.
That was great. That
and the crowd actually, and the crowd actually thanked them for it. Like, that firmly established their baby faces, which, again, I really hope Javier's on so he can explain when that happened with Uncle Howdy, because I don't remember it. Anyway, I'm sure it was some weird thing I had to click with my phone that explains it to me that I don't know how to do. So that's probably the answer. But anyway, I think you guys are looking at this very linear from the standpoint of Bray's going to fight the winner. Anybody think that there's a small possibility that there isn't a winner and the match at Mania is Bray and Uncle Howdy against Bobby and Brock?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's possible. Like, anything's possible with the story right now. I mean, I wouldn't advocate for that, but... No.
I did not say it was a good idea. I just said it's on the table. Like, couldn't you just see a situation where these two guys wipe each other out somehow and Bray and Howdy show up and just go, well, okay, I guess it's both of you then, because that's where we are at this point, honestly. And then maybe Bray and Uncle Howdy abduct Bobby and I don't know.
Stop, there's too much here.
No, well, you know what, though? Here's the thing. Like, I think the fact that, like, I'm able to go down three different angles, and, you know, Sean, you're able to go down three different angles, and, you know, Alex, you are the same, and Javier, too. Like, it's too much. I mean, I think, personally, it's too much. I mean, you can have fun with the nuggets and the little teasers and the hints and following the rabbit and all that stuff. And I think that there's a time and a place for that. But as I've always said with this story, and really with Bray, like post Wyatt family Bray, you got to be able to pay it off in the ring. You have to be able to do that. And I look at where they're at now with this, and I think that, you know, if they attempt to do that, it's going to be a very complicated endeavor and not one that easily fits in a ring 20 by 20. So there's issues. I think there's issues. And I don't know that bringing Brock Lesnar in or Bobby Lashley for that matter, like fixes what's going on or makes it better. I think more than anything, it probably just frustrates people a bit. Sean, over to you again.
Yeah, I don't like what they're doing with Bray at all. I was trying to like it, but I don't. The question I was going to bring up, and I'll let some other callers get on because I know they want to talk about the Chamber, is with the women's segment tonight, especially with Asuka, Liv. I would have liked. I mean, the match for what they were doing in the ring was fine. I mean, it was fine. It was good. Asuka won what she should have. I understand, again, I know what WWE does. It's what WWE does. They want to build the Chamber match, so they want to bring everybody out. So they have Carmella on commentary, who was freaking awful on commentary. Oh, my Lord. She was so, like, I know she was going for being annoying. I understand that, but she was over-the-top annoying. It was just, like, get-off-my-screen annoying. I was like, oh, my good Lord. And then, you know, you have everybody come out, Raquel come out, and she's excited about Liv. I know they were a tag team last week, but I mean, like, you're supposed to be all battling to win the Chamber. You're not supposed to be friends with anybody at this point. Like, she's like, go Liv, clapping for Liv and to win the match. And then, so Raquel is just too much. I mean, she's got potential, but I just don't like what they're doing with her right now. And then, you know, having Nikki, which I thought she was hilarious. Nikki's great. She's in a spot that she's in, but, I mean, she's funny in her spot. Cole just being like, oh, get off me, your slobber's all over me. Like, that was great. I love that part of it. But I just don't like when they bring all the women out and just the way they did it. I didn't like the segment in general. So what did you think about the segment as a whole? And Zach, I appreciate all you do, like I said, for the YouTube channel, for all the podcasts you're on. Again, I can't wait for On the Canvas to officially come back. I know it will, like you said. I know it will. I'm ready for it. Alex, man, I love all you do. I love you getting on these podcasts, man, and I appreciate you guys taking my call, as always.
Thanks, Sean. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks for making the call. Always good to talk to you, and appreciate the shout-out on the YouTube channel. If you haven't done so already, check us out, PW Torch YouTube channel. Just search PW Torch on YouTube. We're live every day, Monday through Friday, usually in the late afternoon, 4 Eastern, typically. And we'll talk Raw usually on Mondays. We'll do a Raw preview or a Raw review and NXT preview on Tuesdays. Wednesdays is all AEW with Dynamite that night. Thursdays is our flagship show with Tyler Sage and myself just talking the news of the week with a live audience. So that's always a blast. And then on Friday, we do kind of like a question show followed by some SmackDown previews. So if you haven't done so already, head over to YouTube, subscribe to the channel. We've got tons of interviews on there. We've got a new video series from Stephanie Chase that started off this week that we've gotten a ton of positive feedback about. So check us out. Search PW Torch on YouTube. Okay, so in regards to Sean's question, though, Alex, I'll throw to you first on it. What did you think of the women's segment tonight?
Tonight, we had two women's segments. The first one was really positive, and the second one was a pile of garbage, and it was horrible. And I was
your bluntness is great tonight. I just love it.
I'm sorry, but that second one like irritated me to no end, and it's embarrassing, and it like literally makes me ill like thinking about that right now. And so I'm gonna do the good part first. Just to kind of calm down for a second. So the tag match, I actually was shocked that Shotzi got the response that she got from the crowd.
Yeah, she really did.
And I hope if we have the on-site correspondent, they can tell us if there was a dark match ahead of time, because I make the assumption that there was, which makes this even more surprising. If they were the first act in the ring, I kind of get it a little bit more. But if they were not, then that's a nice positive. Maybe it's just a Canadian thing and, you know, like the days of Jacques Rougeau and Pierre Gallet getting wins,
yeah,
you know, in Montreal. Maybe we can write it off to what was it? Pat Patterson said Montreal is different. We got to treat it differently or something like that.
Yes.
So maybe we can write it off. But the response she got and the absolute heckling of Ronda Rousey was fantastic. That was really funny. I got a big kick out of that. And then the fact that Natalya and Shotzi actually looked strong, they got a lot of offense. Shotzi had like two or three really nice spots. And I've been down on her a little bit because she's a little sloppy at times and she misses some stuff. I personally did not see any of that. Again, I'm glancing up and down, so I'm not going to say I'm the authority on it because I could have missed something. But for the most part, I thought everything she did looked good. And I thought they did a really good job in this. And then the finish is, you know, finally Ronda's able to get that armbar on, and once she does, it's over. And that's how it should be. Because her finish is protected, and it worked, and I really liked that. And then an hour went by, and we decided to just completely crap all over the women's division and make them look like a joke. Like, why? Like, listen, I cannot stand Liv Morgan. I've made that very clear that I am off of any thoughts of her being anything. It's over. It is not going to work. It is what it is. But really, a match with Asuka, who's probably going to have a women's title match at Mania, is an afterthought to Nikki Cross sitting on Wade Barrett's lap? Are you joking? That's what they booked? For real? Like, it's just... I actually disagree with Sean. I thought Carmella on commentary was fine, And honestly, I was completely okay with it when that was the deal, because they set that up ahead of time. Cole mentioned before the commercial break, after Asuka's entrance, that apparently she had said something on social media that set up this match, right? So they built in a reason for Carmella to be there, and she's done commentary before, and I don't think she's as bad as Shawn does. I think she's actually kind of funny because she knows that character and plays it so well. She's supposed to be annoying. It is what it is. She does it well. But Carmella's never going to be a top-level anything, but she is a person to have on the roster, and she's worth having on your roster. Like, there's no reason to fire her or anything, right? So that was fine. But then again, they trot out Nikki Cross, who in the middle of this match with basically the only two women that have a chance of winning that thing tomorrow, and she's asking Michael Cole to be her best friend and sitting on Wade Barrett's lap and crawling across the desk. Like what? And then for some reason, Natalya appears and is on the outside, like, rooting for both of them, but no one. And Rodriguez wants to beat up Carmella, and they have never had an interaction on television before. Like, it's just such a disconnect from what they had done just an hour previous, and I don't get it.
Yeah, this is not good. This is not good at all. The second women's thing with the Elimination Chamber. I mean, I think the match has issues. The main one being, I don't think you've told a cohesive story with any of the women really that, hey, we want to win this match. I mean, this is a huge match. This is like Royal Rumble level type stuff, because an opportunity for WrestleMania title match is on the line. And I'm with you, man. Instead of, even if you do it outside of the ring, and instead of like tight 30 or 45 seconds vignettes from each of these women, like talking about the match, putting over the danger of it, putting over the stakes, they opted for comedy, goofiness, and silliness that's just unbecoming of really all of those women. Like, I think they all offer much more than just kind of comedy in the ring, but it didn't do the match any favors either. Like, nobody is more interested in seeing this match because of what went down tonight. And I think that's really unfortunate. I'm glad you called out the Ronda Rousey stuff, because I wanted to ask you about her. Like, in some ways, it's hard to believe that she's in a tag team with Shayna Baszler, because, you know, she's Ronda Rousey and she's had some big moments in WWE. But I couldn't help but notice that, like, it was easier to watch her in this role tonight than it has been as, like, a singles competitor that's forced to carry the title and carry segments on the microphone and try to be likable. Like, she just got to go out there today, be Ronda Rousey, win matches, fight, like, do her thing, and not have to worry about all that other stuff. And so, yeah, it may mean that she's not in a WrestleMania main event and she's kind of stuck in the middle of the card in a tag team match, but, man, like, I think this was a good version of Ronda Rousey, but it's certainly not main event. I mean, what did you make of her? You talked about it a little bit, but did you see the same thing I did in terms of her comfortability out there in a tag team and not saddled with other responsibilities on the show?
Yeah, I thought this was the best she's been in a while. I think what damaged her was the attempt at being a babyface. I've said this, it feels like 1,000 times, but the course for Ronda to be successful was always to make her the female Brock Lesnar. And they just, we got glimpses of it here and there, like the stuff with the cop car and Becky, what was that, like 5 years ago or whatever? And earlier last year, when she came back and she was screwing with Adam Pearce. Like, I loved all that, and I wish they had just kept going with it. And they kind of fumbled that too. But the problem is you're right. When you put things on her shoulders to carry stuff instead of her just being a badass ass kicker, she can't do that, because in real life she's a badass ass kicker. So that's what she should be on television. And I don't understand why nobody gets that, or nobody that works there gets that. But anyway, this is a complete pivot, but is it telling to you at all that she wasn't the obvious choice to face Bianca when the chips were put into place to go with Rhea and Charlotte?
Yeah, it is. I think it very much is. Yeah. I think they don't, it just seems that they just don't, God, I'm trying not to use the word trust, but I guess that's the only word that's coming out, that they don't trust her anymore for a big spot like that, given the work that she's done. I mean, as a singles rack, like the reaction to her has been pretty flat. Tonight it was better. But it's been pretty flat. And frankly, like, she seems pretty disinterested in everything. And so, I mean, yeah. Cause I mean, can you imagine, like, you take some of these, you know, you take, like, you look at the Elimination Chamber and you take out, like, Natty, Liv Morgan, and Carmella, and you put in Becky, Bayley, and Ronda, well, you've got an entirely different Elimination Chamber there, you know? And so it tells me that yeah, something's up, and, yeah, that Ronda just is not, I mean, it's just not interested in carrying that ball that way anymore. I mean, you have Becky and Ronda on the table to potentially do, and you're not doing that either. I think both – not going with either of those matches, I think, is telling for sure. Listen, we have our on-site correspondent holding. So let's go ahead and go to him. So, Kevin, if you've heard the beep, we are tossing to you, my friend. Kevin, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time out of your night to join us from Montreal. What's up?
Hey, it's my pleasure, guys. Thank you. I'm really glad to talk to you. Zach, it's the first time that I'm able to talk to you. Julie, it's Wade. But it's really great to finally talk to you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you too, man. And boy, you had quite the it seemed like you had quite the night, a loud crowd, and we're excited to hear about it. So I guess before we get into the Sami Zayn stuff, and we definitely will hear in minutes, talk just about the environment in the building, like going in, like walking in. Was there a buzz? Ariel Helwani was in the building doing kind of hits from the crowd, talking about the buzz that was in the air and comparing it to George St. Pierre fights. So just talk about, like, the audience in general, you know, filing into that building. Was that buzz actually there?
Oh, yes, for sure. From the get-go, me and my girlfriend, by the way, she's here with me.
Hi.
She, we got in, and usually you get all the Ric Flair woos that are like from first second to the last second of the going in and out of the building. But now it was Sami Chan. The woo of Ric Flair was almost absent, replaced by Ole, 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 or Sami Chan. From the first minute we got in to until we left, basically.
That's before Sami came out, right? Like, that's like throughout the show.
Oh yeah, way before. When we were coming into the building, people were yelling that.
Yeah, that was before the main event. Main event, like the show main event, I guess. We had like a little match between. I don't want to spoil anyone, but there was a little match between Ricochet and as a tag team with Braun Strowman versus. I don't remember their name. I'm really...
Selena Vega team?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Santos Escobar, I think. But he was not in the match. But yeah, so even then, it was chanting. We were all chanting, Ole, Ole, or Sami. And the cameras were not even on SmackDown yet. So
wow,
to the point that now I'm still surprised that I still have a voice.
No, I mean, it certainly sounded that way. It sounded that way when he came out. Was the crowd like a typical WWE crowd in that market? Like, have you been to shows in the past? Did this mirror that, or were there more older people? Were there younger kids and families? Like, what was the makeup of it, and was it sold out?
It was not sold out. There was a lot of empty seats on top of the hard cam. So, but outside of that, I would say it was pretty full. You had a good nuance of age, it was pretty widespread. A lot of kids, a lot of older people. I would say that usually there is a bit less kids in where we were in terms of house shows, or the last time SmackDown came around. When I got in, you were talking about Ronda, I think. I didn't hear the rest. But the first time we got in, Ronda was really over. She was doing the thing with Adam Pearce. And you were talking about it with the other caller, I think. And there were a lot less kids around us way back then. And a lot more, I would say, unruly chants towards wrestlers. And it was a bit more hardcore maybe back then. Maybe it was just once, but today it was pretty good in terms of kids to older age people.
Interesting. All right, so let's get to the main event segment. So Sami Zayn's music hit. It's the old stuff, old music. On television, it sounded like you guys just went absolutely nuts, and obviously the crowd cheers and the chanting like took over and made him pause for a bit. But you just don't get those kind of reactions very often. And you got to see one live. Just talk about it. Talk about the atmosphere. Talk about the pop. I'll just kind of leave it open ended at that, and just take it away.
Okay. It was very surreal. I have to say, I don't know if you saw it on TV, but in the beginning, they put a little trailer, a little video together of the history of Montreal and wrestling. Did you see that, guys?
No, Alex, did you catch that? I may have missed that, like fast-forwarded through some stuff. Did you catch it, Alex?
No, I did not.
Okay, so it might have been just an in-building thing.
Yeah, I'm
really
assuming that was not on the air, because I would have caught.
Yeah, I think it was really to get everyone there emotional about the fact that, like, they were talking about how there's all these Montrealers that are part of wrestling history, and then finally we have one of our people who gets a chance to be the main event, and they were really, like, tugging at our heartstrings.
Yeah, they talked about Dino Bravo, Pat Patterson, Mad Dog Vachon.
Wow.
They did like a really good package video. It was really heartwarming, I would have to say. People around me were teary-eyed. Like, it was really good. So all of that going into the main event of Sammy doing his speech, we were already prepared. And I would have to say, I felt like the whole crowd was just waiting for Sammy. Like, we were... I don't know how it came across on TV, but I've seen the Montreal crowd. Every time there's a show, I'm there, basically. And I've seen the crowd being a lot more unruly. I know WWE sometimes would call us, like, the Bizarro World. I think they used it a couple of times. And I feel like tonight we were pretty tame compared to what I'm used to. It's like we were waiting for Sammy to arrive. And as soon as Sammy arrived, this was when the place went unglued. We were all on our feet, kids, grandparents. We were cheering, chanting, singing. Everyone had their phone out. Everyone was filming, taking photos. It felt like a Metallica show from the 90s, but for Sami Zayn.
We were all yelling for a good 5 minutes. I don't know how much of it actually got on the air.
Yeah, that was one of our questions.
Well,
Did you get a full five minutes?
Yeah.
Sorry?
All that got on the air. I mean, we were talking, Alex and I were talking when we started the show that, like, it started, like, the segment started so late in the show where it was like, man, is he going to have time to say anything because he's not, the crowd isn't letting him talk. So no, we got the full dose of that from the second he came out. They really stuck with it the whole way. You guys will see when you watch it back.
Oh, that's amazing. Because, yes, it was really heartwarming. And to see Sammy, sadly, the way they placed, you know, before SmackDown and Raw would have, like, flat screens for all the big screens in the entrance of the wrestlers. Tonight, it was a curved panel. But the curved panel in the Bell Center basically cuts off a lot of that screen because of all the lights, the moving heads that are on the side. So a lot of our section and the other section of the, basically the left, the far left and the far right of the Bell Center, we were not able to see the screen at all. So it was kind of weird because the whole night we would have videos of everything that Sammy went through. But I would say maybe a quarter of the Bell Center was not able to see the screen at all. And because we had an Elimination Chamber cage at the top, there was not the usual big screen that you would have at a hockey game.
The Jumbotron was on.
So having that much energy in the end, I think it was just feeling so good to have Sami Zayn in the middle of the ring, just that we could let it all out.
Do you want to know what he said in French?
Yes, please. It's in my notes. It's in my notes. Yes, go ahead.
What was the first thing he said?
Là, tu vas m'écouter, Roman. So it was like, now you're going to listen to me, Roman.
Yes.
Next, tomorrow, you're going to be in my house or in my, sorry,
my
bleep it.
House.
Yeah, my effing house, but in Quebecois French.
Really,
and a lot of people around us, because, you know, in Montreal, it's a good mix of French and English. A lot of people around us were Anglophones, so they were only speaking English. And they all looked at us like, please tell us, what did he say? So Catherine, my girlfriend, translated live to them what he was saying. And they were surprised that he swore on TV.
But in French, like, swearing isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, that swear is not that big of a deal, yeah.
No. But there are a lot of people in the audience from Toronto, too.
We are we had people from Toronto, right, which is like around 7 hours from here.
Wow. So people, all right. So Sammy's drawn a crowd. That's interesting. Let me throw over to Alex, my co-host for tonight. Alex, go ahead with 1, 2, 3, however many questions you got. You're up.
Okay, the first one, I was going to ask about the French thing, but you already answered that. So Sammy was wearing a T-shirt that looked custom for your area, but he had a hoodie on, so I couldn't see it. What's the blue Sammy T-shirt?
It's because basically they made two special shirts for the event that was only available for us. So it was basically Sammy Abs. Abs would be like for the Canadians of Montreal. Yeah, the Habs. Sorry. So my French was going through that. So the Habs. So for the Montreal Canadians. So they did a mix between Sami Zayn and Sammy Habs, just to do a callback for the Montreal Canadiens.
Gotcha.
Like
okay.
A hockey jersey type of thing, but. That's that Elimination Chamber on it? I don't think that's what he was wearing.
No, that's not what he was wearing. So they had a lot of shirts
that's really
for Sammy's name.
And now
Zach, but I didn't say hi to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. So you said there was a pre-show match. Did you get anything after Sammy left the ring, or was it Sammy's promo and then, hey, everybody go home?
No, we actually got two matches, and we were pretty surprised because they advertised during the event, during the break, that we would have a street fight between LA Knight and Bray Wyatt.
Oh.
So, and they also advertised, that was kind of confusing. They also advertised a Bray Wyatt Funhouse. We got that street fight. Which was pretty good, and I would say that it's probably one of the matches that got everyone on their feet. I don't know how it came across on TV for you guys, but for us, like, the energy was kind of low from what I'm used to. The matches were not bringing a lot of reaction compared to what to what we would go through. I hope it came across as a good show. I hope we gave you guys a good energy, but from where we were standing, it seemed kind of, okay, it's a lot of matches. But the match of Bray Wyatt and LA Knight was a really good one. And we got...
Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So as soon as Sammy Yeah, so Sammy went out. We all cheered and everything. And his song cut off kind of abruptly. And Charlotte's song started. And right away we were off to a match with Charlotte and Sonya Deville, which lasted maybe around 5 to 7 minutes. And then going on to Bray Wyatt for another, like, 10 minutes. And that
was Bray Wyatt and LA Knight in the dark?
No, no, no. But funny you talk about that. The way they put up the lights, it felt like, you know, the infamous red Hell in a Cell? For us, for a whole section, it felt like the blue SmackDown show because we had a full headlight of blue light in our face the whole show.
Lord.
Yeah, so, and you could see that other parts of the arena had the same thing because once in a while they would cut off those blue lights and it would be the normal lighting and it would be amazing. You could hear a sigh of relief from everyone around us.
But I kept thinking it was because someone was going to come into the audience, so they had already, like, preset the lights. So I kept looking around to see if someone would emerge, but it never happened.
Yeah. We were waiting for Bray Wyatt to do something special.
I'm surprised there was no chant about the light. Usually when that happens, you get a crowd chant calling it out.
Yeah, it was, like I said, we were pretty tame tonight.
Yeah, yeah. What was the best match of the night? Like, I know you said they came across a little flat, and I think that's probably like a decent kind of review of them. Like, they were okay, but really, you know, it was about that promo. It was about that Sammy promo. You know, the whole show.
Yeah.
Really. So, I think you're accurate. What was the match of the night?
Yeah, it felt like we were waiting for that promo, so it was like an hour and 55 minutes of waiting for Sammy. I would say probably Drew McIntyre and Sheamus was the match with the most energy. They were really working hard to get us into the groove. They opened up with the women's match, which was kind of slow. So having the Drew McIntyre and Sheamus versus the Viking Raiders, high octane energy, big slamming, wrestling moves. It was a good match. I would say it was the best one. Gunther got a really good reaction, babyface reaction from our crowd, which was kind of weird because, you know, felt kind of weird for the other guy. Like, it was kind of sad, but it would have been a great match if Moss had actual personality. I'm sorry, I sound mean, but Gunther was really, really, really over. And he got a good match out of it, but Sheamus was the best match with Drew McIntyre.
I think, kind of related, I think the weirdest reaction, though, was Ronda. Maybe I'm just not as in tune with things, but in the middle of the match, I don't know if you heard, but part of the crowd started chanting, "You can't wrestle." And
then
she responded. She said, "Yeah, I can." Yeah, it was kind of awkward.
Yeah, well... Ronda and awkward usually are two things that go hand in hand, I'd say.
Yep.
So, for as big as a star as she is. Alex, over to you. I interjected there with a question. Do you have anything else on your list of things to ask?
The only other question I have is, are you folks going to the chamber tomorrow? And if not, what made you decide to go to SmackDown instead?
To be honest, most of the tickets were sold like in a pre-order kind of. Most of the tickets were sold as duos. So you had to buy for a long time double tickets. But we held off on that. To be honest, what we decided to go to the show this week, like after the Monday night promo, of Cody and Sami Zayn, I told my girlfriend, like, okay, we have to go.
Yeah. It's going to be historical.
It's going to be a great two nights. I'm kind of disappointed in the SmackDown of tonight because I felt like we would have maybe a better go home in a way. But the timing was amazing, so it, you know, it repairs everything. It's all good. But yes, we're going to Elimination Chamber tomorrow, and we are really excited about that.
Yeah, and there was somebody there that had a sign that said, "If Roman wins, we riot."
Yep.
And they're comparing this to like the Habs winning Stanley Cup or whatever, and
yeah,
there actually was a riot after that.
Yeah, the 93
so,
Cup.
It might get really rowdy if Roman wins.
See, well, we'll know soon enough. But... yeah, come see the riot. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, yes, hopefully you guys stay safe for sure. Hey, real quick, in regards to kind of Roman and I guess really Cody, was there any, like, did they show Cody at all in, like, some kind of video during a commercial break?
Nope.
Or, like, anything that the crowd could react to? And if so, how did the crowd react to Cody, being that it's, you know, Sammy's town?
There was no Cody Rhodes mention whatsoever. Even in the packages that they've shown in the videos, they've shown all the videos that was possible of the Bloodline history without the promo of Sami Zayn and Cody. So it was like their own little universe of that promo on Monday never existed.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea because if they try to plug in Cody with this crowd, people might not appreciate it, and then that could affect Cody's image maybe. So maybe better that they don't go there.
That's kind of why I asked, because I wanted to see, you know, because, like, you know, they've got all those Cody vignettes that they've been playing, the comeback stuff and the, all that. And so I wondered how they would handle that and if they would turn that off, because it's Sammy's weekend. So interesting.
They turned it off completely, guys.
Yeah.
There was a lot of news,
based on the Sammy reaction, it's a good call.
Yeah, they had a lot of T-shirts. You had a great one for the American Nightmare for Cody, and it was pretty popular. You had the two Habs T-shirt that was special for Sami Zayn, and you have one that is pretty cool. That is the face of Roman Reigns in anger, and in the face of Sami Zayn in anger, too, looking at each other, like with Montreal Elimination Chamber. So that was a pretty cool shirt. And I have to say, like, seeing the face of a Quebecer like Sami Zayn, like, going against Roman Reigns after, like, I don't know, like 900 days that we're at now, or maybe a bit more because my math is off. But having the face of Sami Zayn, which is a wrestler I always loved but never thought he would actually go there, especially after Johnny Knoxville. Like, even if I liked the match, you still don't think that he would go against Roman Reigns.
Sure, yeah. Interesting. We'll let you guys go ahead with any other notes.
I just kind of want to talk about Natalia because I feel like it's the elephant in the room every time they come to Montreal. I feel like they always kind of push Natalia because she's Canadian. We're supposed to like her, but, like,
she gets no reaction.
No, like, nobody cares.
Because she comes from Toronto.
Yeah.
And Toronto and Montreal don't have the same relationship.
Exactly. Like, the French part of Canada it's a different vibe. There's no comparison to it, really. Like, it's also a tumultuous history. I won't get into it. But, if you say someone's Canadian to Quebecers, like, oh, okay, cool. But if you say, oh, they're Quebecers, like, what? So it's a different thing.
She was trying really hard tonight to get the people inside the matches.
Yeah. I tried not to ask this question, but I guess I will, because I feel like you've left the door open. Was there any, Brett, Sean stuff, being that it's Montreal and we all know what happened there?
Of course.
Yes. They actually, I talked about a package that showed at the beginning of the show that was about the Montreal history. Started with an off voice, the narrator, saying we all know about the story of Survivor Series 97 or the Montreal history of 97, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they showed Bret Hart, and as soon as Shawn appeared and the guy talked about the infamous Montreal 97, he didn't even say screw job. He just kind of hinted at it. People booed a lot. And I'm still surprised that we are not over that, but I guess we're not.
Quebec has held a grudge for a long time. We're very passionate people.
So everything that was Bret Hart was cheered, and everything that was Vince on the video or Shawn, it was booed a lot. So I guess we're still there.
Well, some things never change. That's good. That's good. listen, guys, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to call. Be curious, would love for you guys to email in or connect on Twitter in regards to your kind of in-person thoughts from Elimination Chamber. So feel free to do that if you want.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you so much, and get home safe and have a great time tomorrow at the show. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I hope we're going to give you a great show too tomorrow. And for sure, I will send an email. And everyone, go VIP. It's great. Amazing.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you very much. And thanks to both of you guys. Really appreciate it. Good stuff. PWTorch.com/GoVIP to take Kevin up on that. And interested? Are you interested? Are you shocked, Alex? I mean, you surely are. Your jaw hit the floor when you found out that Montreal booed Shawn Michaels. I mean, right? I mean, who would have thunk it?
I don't want to offend the people of Montreal with my feelings on the Montreal situation.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. We'll go ahead and we're going to try to get in a couple more calls here if we can. We'll try our best to get to everybody. I can't make any promises, but the show's running long, but I want to hit a couple more calls here. We'll go to Ryan in Cumberland, Maryland, who's been holding for quite a long time. Ryan, always a pleasure, man. Hope you're having a good weekend so far. What are your thoughts on SmackDown?
It was a pretty eventful show, I thought. My first question is on Sami Zayn. Do you think they could possibly do like a Tommy Rich sort of gimmick where he just holds the title for like a week or two, like get him to have the title like in the Canadian towns that he's going to, like on Raw, have that him coming with the title and then lose it maybe in a couple of weeks when the, I don't know if the Usos will be on the pay-per-view or premium live event tomorrow, but they can definitely be on a SmackDown where they interfere and cost them the title a couple of weeks down the road.
I mean, that's certainly another way they can go, Alex. We haven't really given that potential finish its due, mainly because I don't think it's likely. But they could always do that. There's 6 weeks between now and WrestleMania. I mean, what do you make of that idea? Just that concept in general. I mean, is it worth doing? I think there's problems with it. You get like the short term. You get the short term pop in the short-term feel-good moment, but long-term, I think it really hurts your WrestleMania show. But what do you think?
I think that we've learned over the years that doing things for the short-term gratification is most of the time a terrible idea. I get the thought process behind it, but in this situation, I would stay the course and go with, I said before, it may be plan B, but I would continue with plan B as is and not muck up the waters anymore. The only thing that I'll say that I would consider, and this is only if Reigns is going to win at Mania anyway, is if they do some type of screwy deal tomorrow that because there's no like no disqualification or anything, right? So if they do like a DQ or a double count out or something and we end up with a triple threat, I'm fine with that. Only if the current plan is Reigns wins anyway. because that doesn't really change much either way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you generally speaking. Like, I think if you do that, Ryan, like you make life difficult for yourself, and it's already difficult. So, like, you know, there's so much value in that Roman Reigns loss that, you know, at this point, and so you need to do right by that. And I think if you kind of just chalk it up to just like a quick, you know, one-off pop, like you're not getting the most out of it. Like, it should be on a big stage. You know, it should be at WrestleMania. I just think that it's such a thing now that, you know, you're looking to really make a guy with this, whether it's Sammy or Cody or somebody else, like, regardless of who it is. Like, I think it needs to be on the biggest stage possible. So, I mean, it's certainly a possibility. I mean, and after that pop tonight, you know that there are people backstage going, huh, should we pull the trigger on this? But I kind of hope they kind of stick to the plan and, you know, tell the story that they want to tell. But back to you, Ryan, for your second question.
Same questions on Madcap Moss. Jim Valley says he sees a lot of similarities in him and Rick Martel, the model. If he were to turn heel, which he's been hinting at in the last week or two, who do you think would be a good baby face for him to be in his first feud to feud with?
What do you think, Alex?
I'm sorry, what was that one? I apologize.
So if Madcap Moss turns heel, who's a good first opponent for him as a babyface?
Montez Ford.
Yeah. Good one. I think that's a good, yeah.
Well, so I don't know if he's necessarily going to win tomorrow, and I'm not like super in favor of how this babyface run might start. I preferred a situation where they had a draft and just drafted them to opposite shows and they shake hands and move on. And I've always liked the idea of Ford going to SmackDown and starting from the bottom and just beating people, like just left and right, just beating people, heels, faces, everybody. And just old school build with him. And then maybe he challenges Gunther and comes up short and then beats him eventually or something. Right. But no, that would be my pick. Since they're currently on separate brands and what I said isn't an option, I guess if he's a heel, I would go with Rey Mysterio.
That's what I was going to say too. I was going to say Rey. You know, if he stays on SmackDown and we stick to the shows, that was going to be my pick. Rey's a pretty good gatekeeper babyface, Ryan, and I think that could work. Madcap, man, he needs something. He needs something. There's something missing right now. I think it's very much, you know, a guy who's, I mean, he's got a good look. He's athletic, but he also just seems to be a guy out there, in my eyes anyway, that's acting in a way that he thinks a wrestler acts and not like a character, but it's like, oh, I'm a professional wrestler, so I need to do this and I need to do this, and like I just don't think it's connecting. So maybe a heel turn may help him if he has the range to kind of get there from an acting perspective. But there's a lot missing with him right now that it's going to make it hard for anybody to invest as a heel or babyface. I just don't think he's hitting the right tone. Alex, are you high and low on old Madcap?
I had a lot of hope for him when he broke off from Corbin and came out of the ambulance or whatever in the little black shorts and everything like that. And I liked his first couple of matches and everything was fine. But since then, he's in like a weird, like floating zone right now. And Levesque brought in a bunch of people and they all kind of just pushed him down, you know, Cross and Gunter and a few others. And now Santos Escobar, like he's behind all of them, especially if he turns heel, he's going to be like the number 8 heel on SmackDown. Like if you really think about it.
Yeah, true. Yep.
So he's in a weird spot, and I'll be honest, he needs like a complete refresh, and I don't mean new shorts and Emma. Like, what's with the name? Like, why are we changing the shorts and giving him Emma and he still has the same name? Like,
the name drives me nuts, man. Absolutely nuts. Yeah. Drives me crazy. I think you're right. Like, what, like, if someone asks you, hey, what's that guy's character? I mean, what, you can't say anything. I mean, you really, or I mean, maybe you can. If you can, enlighten me. But I couldn't explain it to somebody very well.
Emma told you what his character is tonight. He's a superstar, like everybody else in the company.
Right. Yes. Okay, so he has a character. It's just a bad one. So, okay. Got it. 10-4. Ryan, back to you. Any other – well, your third question for us tonight.
Yeah. Third question is on Ronda Rousey. Any date on when she was doing with her time off? Was she just have, like, a injury of some sort, or was she busy out on the farm, or – just took a little vacation.
I don't have any news on that outside of just, yeah, taking some time off. Alex, do you?
No, I assume she just took some time off because she had been on television so often up to that. You know, we all kind of make the assumption, and I always liken her to Lesnar, but it really tracks in a lot of ways. She was around a lot less during her initial run, it feels like. And then this past time, she was on TV like every single week. So I would imagine they ran low on dates for her, or it was just time for a little bit of a break, you know, to go home and be with her family. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think, you know, the audience needed a break to me. You know, she had just gotten like just too cold, I think. And then, you know, she loses the title to Charlotte as fast as she did, and it's just kind of time to, like, all right, we're gonna take a step back, reassess what's going on, and then bring her back. And I think it's that more than anything, Ryan. But thanks, man. Right. Appreciate you. Great three questions as usual. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, of course. Call again. All right, we will continue on here. I'm going to jump to 410. So 410, I believe this is a first time caller for us. 410, state your name and where you're calling from. So, 410, are you still there? All right, we'll try you in a minute. I'm going to put you on hold again, and we'll try you in a sec. We'll go to Brad in Florida. Brad, how's it going? What did you think of SmackDown tonight?
Hey guys, I know you got a lot to get to. I'm just going to give you just one quick kind of thing. Thanks for taking the call. I was wondering if, based on the reaction tonight, because I would have, for Sammy, because I would have honestly been okay if the cheering literally just didn't stop. He didn't say one word, and literally that's how they went off the air. That's how good and kind of like touching that was. And I'm wondering if, like, when Triple H and these guys see that sort of reaction and that sort of, you know, and I understand it's his hometown. I do get that. But is there any way they shift course at this point, or is this all planned out for tomorrow and ready to go? Because my second just part of that is just because if the Usos are not there tomorrow, which I think is likely, I don't think it's confirmed. I think there's a shot that they are there. But if they're not there, how in the world do you get heat where you transfer this to a Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos thing? There's almost no way to do that. So, like, I'm wondering if they do shift gears and they do somehow give Sami a win after seeing this tonight. I mean, this guy, I mean, it's really like this in every city he goes to, obviously not to this level, but maybe 70% of this. I'm just wondering if they look at this tonight and say, wow, like, we got to do something different tomorrow night, or do you think the plan is the plan and that's what it is? And that really is my question. I'm just curious as to your thoughts on that and the Usos not being there, and how in the world do they get heat on the Usos if that is the plan, you know, if they're not even there? Like, what could the angle possibly be, you know?
So the Wrestling Observer reported earlier today that they don't have restrictions to go to Montreal. So, you know, if that's what you're – and they've had restrictions on them in the past. So if that's what you're alluded to, that I think that's been cleared up. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be there, obviously. But those restrictions are not there anymore. I think that they're going to stay the course on this. Like, I really do. I mean, I think that – you know, if you look at everything holistically and you say, all right, well, we know Cody's coming back. I mean, Sammy's been he's been like a hot part of this story since what? September, August, like maybe even before that, like where you knew that this match with Roman Reigns is coming. So it's not like the dichotomy of like Cody or Sammy at WrestleMania and having to make that decision was a surprise for Paul Levesque, you know, that it was coming. Like you had to have known that you're going to have to make a decision there. You're going to go with Cody or you're going to go with Sammy. And it seems at least at this point that they decided, okay, we're going with Cody at WrestleMania and we're going to tell this other story with Sammy. And so, because they've had time to plan this out and map this out, I think they're going to stay the course. And I think that's probably the right call at this point. And if they do it right, if they execute right, and this is kind of how I'm going to be at least judging the angle tomorrow, not so much the match, but whatever angle that they pull, if they're successful, you know, there's going to be a ton of heat on Roman Reigns coming out of that match, and a ton of heat on the Usos coming out, and babyface sympathy everywhere with Sammy, KO, and Cody. And I think, you know, if you do that right, you've got two really big matches for WrestleMania that are centered around the Bloodline. And that makes sense, right? Because that's the biggest story going. It's the, you know, it's got the biggest star involved in that faction. And now you're going to have, you know, like a tag team and then another singles guy trying to take the Bloodline down at WrestleMania. So, I mean, that's best case scenario. And so, you know, I think they're confident in what they have. And I think they're going to stay on course. Alex, how about you?
I'm in the same boat. Again, if there's an audible to be called, I think it's in the more non-finished set up a triple threat than it is Zayn wins. I know that everybody is in the boat of, well, not everybody, but there's just all of this talk now about, oh, when's Reigns going to lose and this and that, and then who's going to beat him. And I'm just so against ending something for the sake of ending it. And I don't think that tomorrow, for the extremely short term and short sighted nature and gain of the moment, it's worth it. I just don't think so. And I like Sammy, but I just, the guy that does that needs to be your top guy at Mania 44, 45. And, and I'm sorry, but it's not Sammy. It's just not.
There you go. That's the clickbait headline. Alex McDonald hates Sammy. Doesn't think he should be champion.
Oh, come on.
I'm kidding. I'm definitely kidding. Yeah, good stuff. Brad, back to you. Hopefully we answered your question there, man. Hopefully.
Yeah, you did. Just one other really quick thing. I was scrolling through Twitter as I was waiting on hold for you guys, and I couldn't believe Tony Khan is attacking Ariel Helwani. He's really not happy with him. He's calling him a fraud and a this and a traitor, whatever he called. I forget what he called him, a fraud or a traitor. I don't know which one it was, but regardless of that, I thought you guys might find that interesting. And if they do it, and I promise you this is my last thing, if they do a triple threat match at Mania, if Roman has the belt, I really hope it's a one fall for one belt and one fall for the other. Because it would be really cool to see, you know, Roman wins the first fall, retains the Universal, and it looks like, you know, he's just going to take them both. And, you know, maybe you get a Cody win on the second and everyone goes home happy and it's a really cool moment and you don't break that streak either. I hope that's the way it goes down. Can you guys see that as a possibility? And I'll hang up and listen, and thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. Great call. The possibility, I mean, yes. I mean, obviously, I think everything's on the table. I mean, they're not going to take anything off the table, potentially. I don't think they're going to go that route, Alex. But, I mean, you could certainly do that. I mean, you can certainly go that direction. I wouldn't advocate for it. But I guess until it's set, you know, I guess it's potentially a possibility. Did I miss something with Ariel Helwani? Did he say something or – because he seemed to be just, you know, doing interviews in the crowd.
Yeah, that's it. So the first things first, if they do the two fall thing, I want Roman to stand over both of them and put each foot on top of them, and both falls get counted at the same time. So instead of doing two, you know what I mean? It's both falls. That would be cool. Anyway, Tony Khan needs to hire an adult with all of his money to read everything that he puts on the internet and tell him whether or not it's a good idea to hit send. And the simple fact that this guy is an adult businessman and he does not have a PR person doing that for him shows just where his head is at and where his priorities are. Get off of the internet. Stop it.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better myself. I mean, I was like going through my notes going like, did Ariel Helwani say like something like anti-AEW? And it sounds like Tony Khan is just upset that Helwani is working for the WWE, I guess. Right? I mean, that's the only thing it could be. So that's, yeah, he's got much more important things to do than worry about that. Yeah, I agree with you for sure. Let's try to go back to 410 here. 410. Let's check in with you again. State your name and where you're calling from tonight. 410. Going once. Going twice.
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now. Yes, I can hear you now.
This is Reverend Keith.
Oh, Reverend Keith. All right, you got the number didn't look like it normally does. What's going on? Welcome to the show. What did you think of SmackDown, Reverend Keith?
Can you hear me?
You still with us?
Okay.
Not hearing.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
No.
I
can hear you now. We'll give it one more shot.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with the phone. Can you? Hello.
Go ahead, Reverend.
Can you hear me? Okay. I thought it was a good go-home show. Tomorrow should be exciting. You could just feel the emotion, as everyone has said. Though, the Sami Zayn segment was awesome. I am of the belief, though, that they could surprise us, not with so much a Sami Zayn win. I don't believe that would happen. But they could set up an angle where it does eventually lead to a triple threat. And I know Brad just spoke of that, and I know others have talked about it. You know, you just hate to see it end tomorrow night, especially being that he's so popular. I think he's the most over guy in the company right now, even more so than Cody. So it would be interesting to see what WWE may pull out of the hat since Sami Zayn is so hot. Do you guys think that they may pivot a little and make it a triple or just keep it the way it is?
So we just hit that topic. But yeah, no, I think they're going to keep it. I think they're going to keep it the way it is. And that's what we got here. And I think that I still believe that means, I think Paul Levesque is self-aware enough where that will mean a title match for Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns and a really, really great high profile spot on the card for Sammy. Back to you, Reverend Keith.
Okay. Also, Zach, great show the other day with you, Brian and Gigi on Figure Four Online. Kudos. How did it feel being on that show?
It was good. It was good. It's always good to talk to those guys, and we had a really good conversation. So everybody goes and checks that out. I appreciate you listening to it, Reverend Keith. It was fun show.
Yes. Last but not least, I do want to touch on the women in WWE. SmackDown is in need of a rebirth as far as the women's division. As you guys alluded to earlier tonight, it was really a cluster with the women tonight. And Nikki Cross, they really have made her look like a total fool. You know, from kissing Michael Cole sitting on the desk to clowning around. I mean, we know that she's crazy, but that was a little over the top. I think they need to call up some of the ladies that's on the roster of NXT after WrestleMania, reshuffle the deck, so to speak, because right now you really don't have the star power on SmackDown. So whether Rhea wins the title or Charlotte retains at Mania, you're still going to need some contenders. And right now they are desperately in need of star power in the women's division. Tell me your thoughts on how they can revamp the women's division on SmackDown. Thanks for taking my call. Alex, is always a joy to talk to you as well as read your columns. Have a good week and be blessed.
Thank you so much, Reverend Keith. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Always good to talk to you. Yeah, Alex, any idea on that? I'll throw to you first as far as, like, just okay, you get the title on Rhea, let's say, and now what?
Yeah, thanks, Reverend Keith. I appreciate that. I've said for a while that I thought for a long time that we needed to, like, speed up and have a draft. And now I would be totally fine with it if they had a draft that was only women and tag teams, because I think everything else is fine the way it is. Like, the male singles rosters with the people that Levesque has brought in to kind of fortify and add some depth, I think that's fine, and there's still enough freshness on both sides that we'll be okay there. But the women need a complete revamp. Kyle kind of touched on this earlier, but just to compare and contrast, your top five on Raw right now are Ripley, Bayley, Bianca, Becky, and Asuka. And then if you want to throw in a sixth one, you also have Alexa. And on SmackDown, you have Charlotte and Ronda and
Liv. I mean, like, oh, yeah, it's a
whatever,
big drop.
Yeah, Liv. Yeah.
Huge drop.
And yeah. Then if you go to a fourth and a fifth, what do you want to go with? Baszler and Rodriguez?
Yeah, Rodriguez. I think, yeah, you got to put her up there for sure. Yeah, yeah. And I think honestly, like, if you go further down the depth chart of Raw, like, I think you still have acts that are equal to or even more over than some of the SmackDown women. Like, you know, give me Io Sky over Liv Morgan, you know? Same thing with Dakota Kai. I think, you know, I'd rather have both of them as a tag team than Liv. And so even, like, the middle of the card on Raw is better than, like, the top end on SmackDown.
Yes, exactly. And that's really what I'm getting at, is, like, you could take the number four and five from Raw and immediately they're in the two or three on SmackDown. So again, we make the assumption that Rhea's moving over to balance, kind of, not really, but kind of. But just sticking with how they are right now, I would assume that Ripley's first challenger is Liv, because they already set that up with the Rumble and they do have a previous history when they were a team. Again, I'm not shy about my thoughts on Morgan, but I assume that's the first one. And then once Ripley gets rid of her, I would assume it's Rodriguez. And after that, your guess is as good as mine, because I would imagine at that point, you probably just go back to Charlotte, because there's not much else to do.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Yeah, you can milk Rhea Ripley and Charlotte for, like, another match, WrestleMania Backlash or something like that. But, yeah, eventually you got to get into something else. And so there's time. But, boy, yeah, they have to get on it for sure. All right, we'll wrap up the caller portion there. We got one email here that I want to get to, and then we will put this thing to bed. It's from JB from Detroit. He says, why does it seem as though Bray Wyatt is continually involving himself more with these comedy or bombastic acts such as LA Knight and Hit Row? It feels as though we should be at a higher level with the Bray act by this point, and the fact that we are not there is admittedly disappointing. That is what made the call out of Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar for tomorrow night incongruent with what we've seen so far. It seemed out of place, and I'm not sure how we'd really get there with an adequate story in only about 6 weeks before WrestleMania. That being said, Bray did get an outstanding crowd reaction. As always, love the show, and go VIP. Thank you, JB, pwtorch.com/goVIP. Over to you, Alex. What, you agree, disagree?
I mean, I agree for the most part. I don't really have much to add.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I think it plays into the example that I'm talking about, that it's hard to like get whatever Bray's doing or what he's been doing for the last few years into the ring to make something like Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar work. Like, so, you know, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. And I think it's going to come down to, and this is just more kind of broad booking of Bray Wyatt, but I think like somebody has to pull back on what Bray wants to be doing. Like he, you know, into the cinematic stuff, into like the wild production, into the intricate storylines. And, you know, I think you have to simplify that a bit, you know, like I'm not saying take everything away, but you have to simplify it a bit so that it can play opposite any big name, you know, in the ring. I mean, do you want to see Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns or Bray Wyatt versus Cody or Bray Wyatt versus Sammy? Like, I don't know that you do, because it's just so outside the bounds of what 90% of WWE is. And that's what I'd be working to clean up. So, JB, thank you. Thanks for the question. All right, man. Wow, we've been going really, really long. But there was a lot to get to. But we'll wrap it up there. Alex, tell everybody how they can read more of you on pwtorch.com, how they can follow you on social media if you want to do that, and also plug the show that you do every single week here with The Torch.
Well, I am the Alt Perspective reporter for SmackDown every Friday night on PW Torch. You can read my report right alongside Wade Keller's. On top of that, I am a semi-regular co-host here on the post-show for SmackDown. On top of all that, the pride and joy and the crown jewel of what I do for PW Torch is the PW Torch 90s Passcast with Patrick Moynihan each and every week. Our show comes out on Friday, a little bit before SmackDown most of the time. And worst case scenario, we're out by Saturday morning. It's a really, really fun show. We work 30 years in the past, going through an edition of the PW Torch from that time period. And we run down all the happenings. Right now, we're obviously in February of 1993 on the march to Super Brawl 3 and WrestleMania 9. Hulk Hogan has just been announced to be making his return to the WWF. And Bill Watts was just demoted. Yes, demoted. A lot of people might not know that he was demoted before he resigned, forced to resign, however you want to look at that. And in this week's episode, that's what we talk about. And there's a lot of fun stuff, you know, what we would do if we were hired into that position into WCW in 1993 in that time period, kind of first things that we would do. There's a little fun trivia segment at the start of each show. I'm currently beating Patrick, which is also really fun. And just all kinds of stuff like that. Anybody who enjoys the Ultimate Show, with Sam Roberts on WWE Network or Peacock, you'll enjoy a lot of the things we do, because we also borrow quite a bit from that with Ultimate, you know, different things, Royal Rumbles, King of the Rings, that are in our time period and all time. So if you like that kind of stuff and you live for nostalgia, or you lived through it, or you want to learn something new, check out the PW Torch 90s Passcast every Friday.
Guys, it's a really great show. Check it out. I mean, just it goes along perfectly if you're navigating the archives as a VIP member. But if you just want to kick back and listen, they do the navigating for you. So great listen. Make sure you guys are checking that out on a weekly basis. I'm PW Torch assistant editor Zach Hador, and as I mentioned earlier, check out our YouTube channel. We've got a lot of content up there every single week, live content exclusive to YouTube. So search PW Torch on YouTube, subscribe, hit the little notification button so that you know when we go live. We're live every day during the week, Monday through Friday, at around 4 Eastern. So, you know, subscribe there and enjoy. It's been a really fun time building that community and talking with everybody on a daily basis. So we've had a blast, and definitely check it out. Also, keep it locked to pwtorch.com this weekend. We will have all your Elimination Chamber coverage. Tomorrow night we'll have coverage for the big Battle in the Valley show and Mercedes Moné, her debut in New Japan. Busy, busy weekend for pro wrestling, so keep it locked. We'll have your news as well as it comes in at pwtorch.com. You can follow the brand at pwtorch, and you can follow me on Twitter at zhaydorntorch. Alex, man, awesome chatting with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
I appreciate it, Zach. Good to be on with you.
Yeah, very good. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to our emailers. Thanks to our on-site correspondent, Kevin, and his girlfriend. Appreciate you guys. And, yeah, we'll catch you guys all next time. Talk soon.